You're listening to The Brian and Gina Show, the official podcast of LA Magazine. Here are your hosts, Brian and Gina.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to The Brian and Gina Show, the official podcast of Los Angeles Magazine. I'm Gina Grad.
I'm Brian Bishop.
Looking very youthful today. What? Why?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. First time I heard that in a long time. I don't know, Gina. Maybe it's the the May flowers that have been brought by
the April
showers, as it were.
Yeah.
Maybe the sun is out. It's the weather is warming up, actually. I don't know if it's going to.
Well, obviously, yeah.
I got a little sunburn right here in my arm.
A little farmer's tan?
Yeah, no, we had a picnic on the front yard over the weekend.
Cute.
COVID style, you know, out there, just us and some snacks and nature. And the sun shined all over me.
That must be it.
A little sunburn. Maybe it's the youthful glow of the sun.
I think it is. I know it's something. So that at least explains a few things. We have much to get to and little time to do it in, I guess, Willy Wonka fashion. But I kind of wish we were recording this tomorrow because
Why?
I am being treated this evening as we record this to a fancy Dodgers experience.
Well, what does that mean?
Okay. So the last time I went to
all the Dodger dogs you can down.
No, I have to wear a party dress. No, I'm last time we were treated to a fancy Dodgers experience. We were in one of those little suites with all the food and all the stuff. And that was super fun. This time, from what I understand, we will be like at third base, on third base, helping the team. No, but like we'll be like,
you'll be waving them home.
Exactly. We'll be like right down near the field, hooting and hollering. I'm very excited. A girlfriend of mine works for fancy people, and sometimes fancy people can't use their own tickets.
Oh, we'll so you have like box seats for a game.
Right.
I didn't know if this was like a Dodgers are out of town, so you're going to have like a festivity on the field.
That sounds really fun.
Well, that's what some teams, some stadiums or whatever do. You know what I mean? Like, hey, teams on a road trip are hosting a dinner or function or something.
Oh, I got to get in on that. I'm not too aware, though.
I mean,
now I feel bad. I'm going to a regular game.
You've not seen these ridiculous reality shows where, like, they'll have their kid's fourth birthday in a SoFi Field?
I've only seen that
on SoFi Field.
I've only seen that in a lottery commercial where they're like, look, Dad, now we're playing a Dodger game. I've never seen
your
it in any other.
You're done.
Huh? Yeah. How do you like that?
Okay, so you're going to be courtside.
Right, courtside, ringside, rinkside. And I'm excited. I got my little hat. And
if you know what, I often it's a source of much humor, adults bringing gloves to a game. That said, if you're that close, this is not a terrible idea. Andy's the kind of guy. He must have glove ready to go.
He'd catch it for sure. And if you're a righty, you're more likely to hit to the third base side. Does that make sense?
I think probably more foul balls would come towards the third base side if you're a left-handed hitter. But because you're slicing, you know what I mean?
Right,
like, you're left,
like backwards.
You're slicing the ball as opposed to being so far out ahead of it, you're pulling it into the stands.
Yeah, I shouldn't have even tried to figure that out.
I don't know. This is not scientifically proven or even accurate.
Righty pulled a third base. Thank you, Gary.
No. I understand.
No, I know what Brian is saying.
I understand that.
He's
More likely you would see a foul ball from a left-handed hitter. Hey, so
Shohei Ohtani
could send one over your way.
Yeah, that's actually not a bad idea, because then the headline would be like, "Girl tries to catch ball with her eye and like
girl, her. Local celebrity."
Thank you.
I assume you're going with someone important.
Thank you very much.
That was mean. I don't know why
it was funny.
You complimented me on my youthful appearance, and here I am being catty.
Yeah, you're really punching down today. An announcement as we record this. The reason I was actually running like 6 minutes late is because I took the liberty of knocking out my statistics final.
I was just about to think we had an update a while on your master's program.
Oh, this is not my master's program.
Oh, this is the undergrad.
This is the road to the master's program.
Gotcha. I guess they're all the same. The destination's the same.
Yeah.
But anyway, how did stats go?
I hated it.
Yes, the worst.
It hasn't been fully graded yet. I am clinging to a B. I'm at 83%, and my last exam, quiz, and homework have not been graded yet.
But I assume you can move on. You can move along with anything that doesn't involve a failing grade.
Oh, happily. But as a mature woman.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I'd like to.
As a point of pride.
Yeah. I'd like to not go full scale like 19-year-old Gina, who like didn't care and had other priorities and thought it was all hilarious and playing with, you know, house money.
What do they say? C's get degrees.
Oh, that's good.
I've heard that. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I would like to cling to my B. Thank you very much.
Sure,
the only other real class that I have left, I have to take leadership studies this summer.
What does that mean?
I don't know. But like, these are not real. They're somehow required, but they're not real. The only real.
They're less of the hardcore STEM.
Yeah.
Classes.
The only like core thing I have left is anthropology of biology or something, which is kind of like rocks for jocks. Like you have to take, I still have a science class I have to take. And they're like, trust me. The counselor was like, if you're a humanities person, take the like anthropology biology.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like,
I did one back in the day called conceptual physics, which used to be called physics for poets. The idea is they're like, hey, we're going to study physics concepts. And it was honestly a great class.
Wait a second.
I really got a lot out of the class.
Wait a second. You went to USC, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Apparently that's a real class that was taught in multiple universities because Patton Oswalt has a full bit about taking physics for poets.
Okay.
And I thought I till this moment I thought that was a joke.
It's a clever name for sure. But by the time I got there, it had been rebranded as conceptual physics.
Okay, that sounds scarier than regular physics, but physics for poets is one of the greatest. It sounds so fake that I almost didn't believe the bit.
Yeah, it's the updated version of underwater basket weaving.
Right.
That was always a joke or a punchline, I guess, of the 80s that always came up. But
let's just get you through this. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. You don't belong here, but you have to do this.
Okay.
Grit your teeth. We're going to drag you through here.
So that's, I guess, what my anthropology biology class is going to be. But I have leadership studies. I want to give myself a little gift, a little break, and not take the hardcore back to back. And then I have something about international women, which I feel like I already took back in the day, but whatever. And then like one wild card and then it's all over. Thank God.
They're going to spin the wheel, whatever it lands on.
Exactly. I can't remember what it is, but if it's anything like leadership studies, I'll be thrilled because I had a couple. Oh, my choices were for summer. My choices were leadership studies or morals in business. And I was very, my interest was piqued in both, but I think if I had any morals, like I would have used them already, you know?
Sure. This is Billy Madison. Business ethics.
Exactly.
And he asked Carl a question and Carl simply like melts down at the idea of an ethical business.
Exactly. Gary said the same thing. Yeah. So I thought,
No, Carl, it's Eric. Yeah, sorry, Eric.
If that had interested me, I would have taken it. Let's just live the immoral, amoral life and see what leaders do in leadership studies.
Let's do it. Okay. I'm laughing at the idea of Eric being asked a simple business ethic question.
And he
can't even formulate a fake answer. The idea that there would be ethics in business has him so stymied that he melted down.
Is there anyone better than Bradley Whitford?
I don't know that to be true.
He's the greatest. He's such a great villain. And then he's like the most, he's fantastic.
A specific kind of villain. He's in this movie, at least, he's a great weasel.
Yes. Yes. And I don't know if you were, I mean, you're the movie buff. You remember the film, what's it called? Oh yeah. Revenge of the Nerds 2.
Sure. Yeah, I think I've only seen it like once.
He was.
That's where Ogre turns good, right? Like, yeah. Ogre like joins the nerds.
Yeah. And yeah, Bradley Whitford was a bad guy. And then I don't know why we always say this, but from Billy Madison, Bradley Whitford, we always go, did you fall asleep or did you pass out? I don't know why. We love that line.
Fun stuff.
So, okay.
Yeah, we did top five weasels on the film back in the day.
And
yeah, I think that was on my list. I'd have to go back and look at my list.
Oh, I hope
so. Which I could do in a matter of seconds. But Bradley Whitford was, I'll look it up. If you filibuster.
If he's not on the top five, he was definitely number six. He got an honorable mention that didn't make
it. Oh, no, he was definitely in there. I'm trying to
remember. Good. Okay. So Brian's looking at that. We're going to do a little weekend recappage. And then Brian has another treat for us. He saw The Fall Guy because, of course, he did. It's one of those movies where I know nothing about it. I see a lot of like press for it. And I see like people like blasting through curtains and Ryan Gosling, the baby goose, standing there. But I really don't know what I'm watching. Okay. What'd you find?
Good news. Weasels was done. When did we do this? This is a long time ago. This is all the way back in. Wait for it. This would have been November of 2015.
Oh, my God.
My list was number five. Oh, yeah. This is good. Ed Norton from The Italian Job.
Nice.
This is a great weasel. Number four, Inspired Choice. A real life person, Kathy Bates from The Late Shift, a TV movie where she played Jay Leno's agent.
Wow.
In The Late Shift. Great, great weasel. Number five, Eric Gordon, EVP of Madison Enterprises or whatever it was, and Billy Madison, of course. Mm-hmm. Number two, Dr. Chilton from Silence of the Lambs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Number one, I stand by this. Great weasel. All time great weasel. Percy Wetmore. No, Widmore. Wetmore from The Green Mile.
You know, I've never seen The Green Mile.
Ah, Green Mile's uneven. It's got some moments, but Doug Hutchinson as Percy Wetmore is just a fantastic weasel.
Doesn't it dip its toe into like the supernatural?
Oh, for sure.
Huh. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe that's why. It has its moments, but I cannot say that it's an overall great movie.
Can I tell you that I'm so out of touch with this genre of movie making that I get that mixed up with Monsters Ball?
Oh, that's very different. Very different.
And then isn't there one about a nun in the prison?
Wait, what?
What's the one?
Okay, so you're talking about prison movies in general.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That was Susan Sarandon, yeah. Dead Man Walking.
Thank you. Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. It's Monsters Ball.
Green Mile is very fantastical.
Fantastic.
It's Frank Darabont, who wrote and directed Shawshank Redemption.
Okay.
Also an adaptation of Stephen King's story, as is Green Mile.
Right.
Whereas Green Mile is more fantastical. Shawshank is a little more just, you know, down to earth.
Whatever. And, well, the great movie.
You've seen it, of course, right?
Shawshank?
Yeah.
Many times.
Yeah, I assume it's an all-time great movie.
Yeah. Good. Thank you for that, because that's a great topic, weasels. Because that's different than villain. Way different.
You're right. It's a specific subset.
You know who else might be a good not a big enough star. Or not a big enough part.
What's
The cowboy like kind of southern accent what was his name Jeff Daniels henchman in Looper.
Garrett Dillahunt,
maybe.
No, he's the really quiet one you're talking about.
He's like, come on, daddy. Yeah,
He's the one who's like, you're gonna shoot your foot off, like that.
Anyway,
yeah, he's a good.
You know, I'm super, as you know, like Looper. I'm super into it again. So
that's Looper, sweet. Yeah.
Okay, so let's not get off on our own Looper and actually do the show in linear fashion.
Mm.
Tell me about your weekend.
Highlighted by the fact that my wife and I, Christy, saw The Fall Guy, which is really the highlight of the weekend.
Right.
We actually hired the babysitter for a couple hours to come over and watch our daughter.
Nice.
And we're going to get away for a little mommy daddy date. We don't have the we don't have the advantage of you, Gina, where you get a week off at a time.
We're on the clock all the time.
And so the reinforcements were called in.
Yep.
We had a nice lunch at True Food Kitchen at Century City, which is a lovely lunch spot. It was sunny and warm. We sat outside. Nice. It was great. I don't know if you've ever been to True Food Kitchen. I believe there's multiple locations.
Is it vegan?
But it's not. It's not vegan. It's okay. Not vegetarian. But their food is all they brag about it being, you know, sourced correctly and organic and sustainable and whatever. So you can get, you know, normal meatloaf or whatever is on the menu. I've gotten meatloaf there before. Very good. Healthy, sustainable menu.
Got it. Love it.
As it were.
Love it.
Yeah. That was a nice highlight. So I can segue into some thoughts on Fall Guys.
Please. You like
The Fall Guy is a 2024 film that is in theaters now. It is directed by David Leitch, who himself was a stuntman before he was a director.
Oh, wow.
I believe he was the chef. I should have refreshed my memory, but I'm going off memory. He was the shadow director on the first John Wick movie, which I believe was some sort of, he was not given directing credit because he was very new to directing. He was a stuntman, but he was effectively the director on John Wick. He's going on to direct other films. And this one, Fall Guy, stars Ryan Gosling, Emily Blunt, Aaron Taylor Johnson, who you might know as Kick-Ass. He's been in a lot of movies since then.
Okay.
Winston Duke, Hannah Waddingham.
From Ted Lasso.
Ted Lasso. My wife is very excited to see the show in the movie.
Sure.
This is sitting at 83% on Rotten Tomatoes. Like I said, it's in theaters now. I rarely do this, but I will describe The Fall Guy as a good, bad movie.
Huh.
So what I mean by that let me back up one second. Every person, but especially every woman I've heard talk about this movie, and I say heard because I even heard two nurses discussing this film on Monday morning when I went to Cedars-Sinai for a regular doctor's appointment. I just heard two nurses, not to me, just to each other, talking about how they've both seen The Fall Guy and they both loved it. Every woman I've heard discuss this movie has either liked it or loved it. Huh. I think this movie plays really well with women.
Okay.
It is a lot of fun. This movie's high in the fun scale, despite the fact that there are just myriad problems with this movie. Like, the plot is absurd. It's absolutely absurd. It hinges.
What is it?
I won't say too much.
Okay.
Ryan Reynolds is a stuntman. Emily Blunt is a camera operator. There is an accident earlier in the movie that sets their lives in diverging paths and hinders what would be a fantastic romance, as the movie explains it to you. The plot of this film hinges on a crime to which there are multiple witnesses and a cover-up to which there are even more witnesses. And yet the idea is like, oh, let's keep this under the rug and we'll get away with it. It's like, no, you won't. There are a dozen people minimum who are privy to this crime.
Okay.
And the cover up. That said, full steam ahead. Don't worry about that. Emily Blunt's character. I like Emily Blunt a lot. Speaking of Looper. But her character is a mess. She has wildly conflicting motivations. At certain times, she appears to think one way, then she appears to think another. Not in a deep, like, oh, that's how human beings are.
We
more in like a not really kind of well-written kind of way. The character motivation in general is very suspect, and still, this is a very fun movie. Like, you will have a good time watching this. Everyone on screen appears to be having a good time. The effects, when I say effects, I mean like practical in-camera stunt work.
Nice.
Is amazing. I mean, that's what the movie, you know, lives and dies on. The movie's a homage to stunt work and the stuntmen and stunt people in general. And on that level, it works really well. It's a fun movie. It's a perfect summer tentpole movie because it's disposable. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to waste too many brain cells on this. You're not going to feel like you're being brought down. Aforementioned Kick-Ass in this movie. It's just a delight. He's like a self-absorbed A-list actor who Ryan Reynolds is the stunt double for. Mm-hmm. And so they have an interesting relationship. You'll be glad to hear that I Was Made for Loving You by Kiss.
Sure.
Is like the musical motif.
Wow.
Throughout the movie.
Love it.
There are several iterations of that song that play throughout the film. Huh. I was trying to do the math, like, why were they using this song so much? And then I came up with, I think, is the reason. Kiss, of course, tons of pyrotechnics in their live show.
Yes.
Which, you know,
can confirm.
Adjacent to stunt work, at least in the stage, you know, stage sure. world. So I imagine that is a homage to the stunt life.
Huh.
This is a movie that will not be a waste of time. Gary pointed out before he recorded, and I had heard that it's maybe underperforming at the box office, at least in the first week. I suspect this movie will have really good word of mouth. Like, everyone likes it. This is a fun movie, but literally, anecdotally, admittedly, but literally every single person I've heard from enjoys this movie.
Great.
So if you're looking for, you know, a movie you can sit with a big tub of popcorn and turn the brain off and just kind of laugh, this is it.
It works.
What you're looking for.
Does it feel like
I recommended Civil War a couple weeks ago.
Oh yeah,
this is very different. This is a movie that will have you, like, you know, enjoying yourself.
Okay, and not stressed out in any way.
Well, I mean, your mileage may vary, but not on the level of Civil War. No.
Okay. Does this feel like, because I never really pay attention to when movies are released. Does this feel like it got released kind of early for a summer movie?
So the summer movie season has been creeping up ever so slightly for a long time. It seems to have settled on the first weekend in May for the last few years. Like, the first big movie will come out, like, or like big being like aimed at a mass audience.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
broad.
Studio has high hopes for this. So first week in May, that I believe Spider-Man, like the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man, might have, like, really codified that first weekend in May as the start of the summer movie season. I'm making air quotes.
Yeah.
Gary can verify that. But it's the summer. The Planet of the Apes comes out this week.
Yeah.
So the summer movie season is on.
Well, that I'm sure they know what they're doing. They probably got an A in their statistics class. But when you're talking about, you know, casting a wide net and the summer movie, when your audience isn't in summer mode and it's still freezing in some places and people are not really there mentally, you'd think you'd wait till at least June 1st to get everyone in that summer blockbuster mood.
Yeah, it's interesting. We should have Matt Bellany on again to talk about that. There must be some calculus some algorithm that tells them this is the sweet spot.
Yeah.
But I couldn't tell you. Yeah. Summer officially starts, what, June 20th? So
something like that.
I don't think they care. I don't think the students care.
Also, I know you guys went to lunch before this, so this might be moot. But what does Brian and what does Christy, who gets up at 6 in the morning for cardio bar, eat at a movie theater?
Well, we didn't eat at the theater. We ate at the mall.
That's what I'm saying. But in general, like, what would one get if they were a bishop?
That's hilarious you say that, because Christy does normally get up at 6 a.m. for bar.
Yeah.
This happened to be a Sunday where we were very exhausted and very tired. So uncharacteristically, we woke up 9:15 and rolled out of bed around 10.
Good.
That is very unusual. And we had breakfast at 10:30. So lunch was, I'm making air quotes here, was at 3? You know what I'm saying? So the clock was staggered in our favor.
But I get that. But, like, in general, she ain't ordering a tub of popcorn and throwing the M&Ms in it, which, by the way, is awesome.
Yeah, really? I never done that.
Yeah, it's great.
No. I do enjoy some movie theater popcorn. That said, that was not on the menu this time. You'll be disappointed or satisfied to learn that Christy had a kale Caesar salad with salmon and a cheeseburger.
So you just sit there in the movie with your hands in your lap?
No, this is at the...
I understand.
Oh, yeah.
So what do you do at the movie? You just sit there twiddling your thumbs?
Pretty much. Yeah, sorry. This would have been a good movie for popcorn, to be fair.
No. Nope.
And
You didn't get a bucket of Diet Pepsi or whatever?
Further detail. This is the second time, granted it's been a few years, second time at the same theater that I've been where there was a technical issue, and 10 minutes before the movie ended, the sound cut out completely.
Ooh, that sucks.
So we're watching. It did suck a little bit, to the point that as a movie reviewer, Gina, I actually went back the next day and watched the end of the movie. I was able to time it. I watched like the end of the film. So didn't get popcorn either way. But the previous time, you might not even be aware of this because it was such a stupid movie that came and went. But there was a Marvel movie called Dark Phoenix. It was like an X-Men movie.
Never heard of it.
It wasn't good. It was very bad. And I went to a screening. The movie stopped like with 10 minutes left in the climactic battle. Yep. And they came in like, so sorry, everyone. We'll reset the movie. Hang tight. Blah, blah. And I was like, I'm good. I just left.
That
the only movie I walked out on with 10 minutes left. So like, I know there's no surprises in this movie.
That's really funny because I would consider you very lucky because the only time that ever happened to me was at the end of Inception.
Oh no.
In a full theater at the Cinerama Dome on Sunset at ArcLight.
Wow.
Full theater opening weekend.
Oh my God.
About, I don't know.
Did they reset the movie?
Nope.
At least?
They told everyone to leave and gave everyone a ticket to come back.
Oh, devastating.
And to pile on more, we found out after, because it was in the news the next day, Christopher Nolan was in like the back row watching with the brand new crowd. And it gets worse about 80%, 75% through the movie. And I think I've told this like a million years ago. I'm in the middle and it's the Cinerama Dome and I'm like prone to anxiety. And so I never want to sit in the middle, but, I just started shifting my seat a lot and started getting like just not well. And I thought I was about to have a panic attack and I was like, oh, for fudge sake, not here. So I'm kind of like getting restless and I'm sweating a little bit. And then I start to notice other people like taking their coats off and like shifting around. You can tell me when this came out, but I'm assuming from what I'm telling you in my story, from what I remember, it had to be height of summer, somewhere very hot, because there was some sort of like power grid failure and the air condition had stopped. And then the movie, the actual like light in the projector went out.
Oh my.
So that's why I was starting to feel like something's wrong. And then everyone started like sweating and finding kind of taking their coats off. And then the movie just stopped.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's harrowing.
It was crazy.
A related note, if I can give a plug on this week's Film Vault, we will be doing top 5 stunts in honor of the Fall Guy.
Oh, nice.
And Inception may or may not make an appearance.
Oh, it would have to. I mean, the hotel falling suspended, swimming through the hallway alone.
Yeah, that scene might be described in detail.
Oh, amazing. Great. Yeah, that'll be great. Good. Okay, so mostly successful weekend.
The movie was good. I went back and saw it, like I said, the next day, the ending anyway. Right. It's crowd pleasing. It's fun. I like to at least acknowledge when movies are fun, because sure, I take for granted that I go to see way more movies than the average person. And if you're going to shell out, I bought Christie's ticket because
mine is, you know,
the AMC Stubbs right. A-list, you know, whatever, but I bought her ticket, $25.
Oof.
So if you're shelling out $25 ticket, getting a babysitter, doing lunch, whatever, you're going to want to go see a movie that's most of the time fun. And this is a fun movie.
That's really, that's a pricey ass ticket. Yeah. Wow. Good. Okay. So from what I'm hearing I'm translating this for me and my people. I will look very forward to seeing this on TV. Cause I don't really go to
movies. So the only reason I would say to go to the theater is the size and spectacle.
Yeah,
of all.
I mean, if it's a stunt movie,
there are big explosions and big stunts, and I will tell you when a movie can be seen at home.
But this certainly
can be. I think it benefits from seeing in the theater.
No, that makes perfect sense, and I will allow it. As opposed to the aforementioned on another show, Zone of Interest, enjoyed at home. And I use the word enjoyed loosely.
Yes, take it in at home.
Great. Yeah. Good. So that sounds like a and then you had a yard picnic. That sounds like a good weekend.
Oh, yeah. That was right before the movie, actually.
Oh, that's adorable. Just because Tessa felt like it.
Just because we've been talking about it for a while. The weather was nice. And it was like, you know, we used to do a lot during COVID was have a little picnic on the yard, and Tessa was all about it. So light lifting.
That's great.
Yeah, it was nice.
Good. Well, I don't have much to report, but I did have another gay old time at Good Day LA Plus. I was not expecting to go back so soon, but I'm telling you, my emotional support clip and bangs are the reason I think they keep inviting me back, because I just came in. It was the great Sandra Endo, Amanda Salas, and Bob DeCastro, who I had not met before. It's usually a female cast. And I was sitting down. I was saying hello to everyone. And then out of nowhere, one of them goes, oh, do you still have those bangs? And I was like, I haven't unpacked since... I don't know. I haven't unpacked a suitcase. I got one waiting by the door from like New Year's. So I'm sure those bangs are still in my purse. And they were. Threw them on Bob DeCastro. Great first segment. Just playing around with that. So again, I better come up with another. I need another trick to be invited back.
I was going to say, what other accessories can you clip on?
I mean, I have full hair extensions. I just sort of abandoned them. Perhaps it's time to pop them back in. Did a lot of talking about the good old Brian and Gina show.
Hey, now you're talking.
Plugged the S out of that and talked about the weekend in the desert.
Did they make you read off a teleprompter again?
No, they didn't. I didn't do any like hosting duties. So I just got to be like the zany expert.
Sure.
Which was really fun. And, that was the extent of my Friday. I don't even remember the rest of the day. Last Friday, two Fridays ago, I got my first traffic ticket in like 15 years.
Oh, about time.
I don't want to say what it was for because it's shameful and everyone pretends they don't do it. So I don't want to say.
Transporting a minor across state lines?
The Mann Act. Yes. Thank you.
We'll keep that quiet.
Although I got something in the mail, it looks like an old ditto. And I mean that word, I use that word specifically. It looks like an old printout ditto and it doesn't say what to do and it doesn't say anything useful. So hopefully I get another one before I get a bench warrant because I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
You got the best legal team in the city behind you. So plow forward.
We should probably do that. I looked for like, are you supposed to like take a class on how not to transport minors? I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah, they'll talk you out.
Yeah, it's not what I did, but there's no information, so we'll just see. We'll just roll the dice.
All right.
Yeah. So
I hope you're next week.
Me too. When we were at KLSX many, many years ago, I found out I had a bench warrant. And all that meant was I forgot to like pay a speeding ticket. And I had such a meltdown, nervous breakdown that like I was sure I was so scared that I slept at my dad's because I was afraid they would try and like kick down my door in Echo Park and arrest me.
For your outstanding violation.
Yeah, because I was going like. I was on the 101. I was going like 72 and a 65. And I thought like they were going to use a battering ram. I was so scared.
I'm glad you're still here.
Thank you. Me too.
That's heroin.
Orange is the New Black is, I sold the rights to that.
Yeah, that's your life.
Yeah. So Saturday went to a 3-year-old's birthday party and I got to remind everyone or validate whoever's doing this. If they're 3, if they're 4, if they're 5, I say all the way up to 7 or 8 easily. If you are spending actual money on your kid's birthday, I'm sorry. You're doing it wrong. We literally set up the big pop-up tent and the tables, you know, the card tables in the front entrance, like our own private front entrance of a public playground. And the kids had the time of their lives. There were two things to eat, pizza and Spider-Man cake. No complaints. There were no
huge hit.
No hors d'oeuvres, no cocktails. Everybody had a gay old time, 2 hours in and out. Why are people throwing money away on kids that don't even have memory yet?
I think it's for the other partygoers, parents specifically.
Well, they're fine. It's not for them.
Keeping up with the Joneses, situation.
I don't know, man. I'm sorry.
And earlier in this episode, we described, parties at SoFi Field.
So yeah, right.
We're in the age of one-upmanship.
Okay. I mean, at least you gave me an answer. It's not an answer I'm like thrilled about, but at least it's an answer. Yeah. Gary says it's what you do. Okay. Well, it's not what she did. Yeah. And we had a great time. So that was easy. It was also.
Have you reached the age of drop off parties yet?
No.
Because.
No.
Okay. Because everyone attends.
Livid if we're like, well, you have fun babysitting.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah, no.
Hopefully it's coming soon.
Yeah, because the parents hosting the party and I would be the same way. Like, wait. Like, I'm not in charge of your kid. Like, you're in charge.
Come slice the cake.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. No, we're not there yet. But it was May the 4th, and because all the boys at school were excited to tell each other that Saturday was May the 4th, we had to watch Star Wars.
And had to.
Correct. Brian, I don't know what you're going to think of this. I think you're going to like it though. How many Star Wars movies are there ish at this point?
9, 10, 11, I think 12.
Are you serious?
Well, we're talking about movies like theatrical released films.
Yeah.
There's the 9 in the Skywalker saga. And then there's Solo and there's Rogue One.
Oh my God. Okay. So,
Gary, I don't mean to be pedantic about this, but I'm going with theatrically released films.
Yes. Okay. So let's say around 10, 12? Out of all of those,
there's at least 11.
Great. Out of all of those movies, and of course, we know that as the years go by and technology gets better and CGI gets more effective and the explosions are better, everything's better. Guess which one my 8.5-year-old stepson demanded we watch? His favorite one.
Either Star Wars or Empire Strikes Back.
A New Hope.
There you go.
The slowest burn of all the burns.
It really is.
In fact, I've seen that movie so many times, and not until Saturday, when my husband stopped the movie to explain to an 8-year-old and his elderly wife what exactly they're hiding for the first half hour of the movie, which I never really put together.
What are they hiding? Luke, right?
No, not who. What? Oh. What plans are they hiding exactly?
Oh, sure. The plans of the Death Star, yeah.
But like, looking for weak spots. Looking for like places to like...
Yeah, the vulnerabilities of exactly how to... Which is explained in Rogue One, but I don't know if you've gone that far.
No, I don't know. So much of that movie had to be explained to me, except for like, they don't know their siblings, and there's Yoda coming in the next movie. Otherwise, like...
That's right.
Yeah.
There's Ewoks, and there's the things came on.
Quite familiar. I had one. Didn't we
That's
all?
Right.
So anyway, they watched that, and then we watched Empire Strikes Back, which he did not like as much.
Well, he'll learn.
Is that insane, though?
That's the best.
Nobody.
It's funny because I actually went to see Alien, the original Alien, re-released in theaters for its 45th anniversary.
Oh, wow.
Which, certain movies come around, like The Godfather came around a couple of years ago for its whatever it was, 50th anniversary.
It did.
And I'm like, I've got to go see it. It's one of my favorite films. I got to see it on the big screen for the second time. So I did that. Never saw Alien before, and I was so delighted and treated to a wonderful cinematic experience.
But
I will say that as I looked on the app or what else was coming out, they're like, oh, The Phantom Menace, episode 1, re-released in theaters. I'm like, fool me once, AMC. Fool me once. I ain't falling for that shit again.
Was that Jar Jar?
Yes, it was.
Okay, I just saw a headline and I did not read any further, so I don't even know what it's about, but it says, be prepared for Darth Jar Jar.
I heard about this in the Lego movie. The Lego Star Wars are very fun.
Okay, I didn't know what we were talking about, but that guy almost unalived himself after playing Jar Jar, so I'm worried.
Yeah, I'm at best. Definitely got some real hate. The hype surrounding this release. Were you in LA in 1997?
No, I was in Kansas. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So the hype surrounding this was unparalleled. I never will see a movie hyped this much as that was. And the disappointment, Gina. The disappointment
I saw it opening weekend because my boyfriend dragged me to it in Kansas, and I didn't really know what was going on. I just was like, that is a wild choice for a new Alien.
Yeah, there was a lot not to like about the movie.
So, yeah, May the 4th be with all of you. I hope you all, if you celebrated, had a meaningful May the 4th. Yeah. Then Sunday, Cinco de Mayo, my husband tried his hands at fajitas. A gentleman from the Midwest, from Minnesota, does not love seasoning. So
that's all fajitas is. Meat, veggies, and seasoning. Yeah. Man, don't be stingy.
Yeah. I said, are you even going to use any salt and pepper on the chicken or the steak? No, just the natural juices. I go, oh, no.
Of chicken?
What do you think? Yeah. What do you think? Chicken? There's no chicken flavor.
Yeah. Chicken's fine, but it needs to be seasoned up quite a bit.
The flavor of chicken that you think you're tasting is salt.
Yeah.
So I said, I gave him cumin, garlic powder, salt and pepper. I said, just to dust this over everything. He promised he did, but it tasted like he had ignored my wishes.
It was a light dusting.
It was the essence of, and God bless him, because he made dinner and it was lovely and we had a great time. But before that, I will just end by saying that, we don't have Lady Day or Lady Night right now because Andy is not in basketball. Lady Night is when it's just me and Kid Boy and he calls me lady.
Sure.
So instead we had Lady Morning.
I thought it was when your drinks were half off.
That's right. We did make, he likes to play Will It Blend at home. So we did make mocktails with watermelon and bananas. We walk around the neighborhood dancing to Spotify and he loves it because he gets to hold the phone and pick the songs.
Sure.
His innocence is officially over. There's no wiggles. There's no whatever the hell. There's no nothing. It's Juice World.
I don't know what that is.
Travis Scott, Eminem.
Okay, yeah, I know who that is.
XXXTentacion.
Oh my.
A lot of these guys, I think, got killed in their young times.
Sure.
And I'm like, where are you hearing this music? Like, why are we listening to this? Like, when I have to force him to listen to censored radio friendly Dre, I know we have a new. He's like, no, I hear it on YouTube. I go, but in what capacity and where? Yeah. It's not here. You're not listening to it here. And it's in a lot of YouTube shorts that people doing silly things with this music on in the back. I'm old. I don't like it. If he sees an E next to it, he can't change it fast enough because he knows he'll get in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't love it. So we walked around.
The other side of that coin, Gina, is my daughter, Tessa, is all Taylor Swift all the time. You know what I mean? Has no time for any other artists or anything.
Sure.
But she loves watching cake decorating videos on her mom's Instagram.
Sure.
But strange enough, with the sound off, she finds the music distracting, which I agree and I appreciate because the music on those is awful.
Good for her. Yeah, I appreciate that too. And talk about messing up my algorithm. My Spotify is a joke now. But yeah, I don't love it. I see the innocence leaving his body and he doesn't know what he's singing. He doesn't know what he's saying. And I said, I don't like it. He goes, I swear, lady, I don't even know what I'm saying. And I believe him. But I don't think Slim Shady was for 8-year-olds.
Tessa doesn't live like him.
Yeah. So
I know what you're saying.
Yeah. Like Pam and Tommy references, he has no idea who they are. I don't like it. So anyway,
there's friends, Pam and Tommy.
Exactly. So, but we had a good day and just took it easy and had lunch with a girlfriend at Granville. Cause I love Granville. The only money that was exchanged is I footed the bill and it was pricier than I remember, but it was really good. And that's that. Bob's your uncle.
All right. Nice. I know Gary's got to wrap pretty soon. So let's tie this one together.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for indulging me in my review of Free Guy. I almost said Free Guy, the Fall Guy. Free Guy is another fun
Ryan movie, Reynolds.
Right? Yeah.
Okay.
The other Buff Ryan.
Right.
Is in Free Guy. Follow us at Bald Ryan, at Gina Grad. Send us questions, interact with us.
Please.
We'll read the interesting ones and rate and review if you don't mind. And what else? Until next time, so long.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Brian and Gina Show. To get in touch with the hosts or buy their books, hit them up at @baldbrian and @GinaGrad on Twitter and Instagram, or by email at podcasts@lamag.com. To get connected with LA Magazine, hit them up at LA Mag on Twitter and Instagram. Talk soon.
I'm Chelsea Ranieri, the host of The Zest, Orange Coast Magazine's official podcast, where I interview successful and notable people who have ties to Orange County. Listen to the stories of the lives and careers of guests such as iconic designer Paul Frank, Revolve's Risa Girona, and cooking show host Salma Dada. Subscribe right now to The Zest on YouTube and on all audio podcast platforms at The Zest.